A ram and a goat were engaged in a violent battle to the death. Strange as it may seem, the fate of an empire hinged on the outcome of that fight between two animals. I'll be back in a moment with the amazing facts about the results of that struggle. Hello, this is Joe Cruz of the Amazing Facts broadcast, Fact Which Affects You. Our study today will cover the 8th and 9th chapters of the prophetic book of Daniel in the Old Testament. And it has to do with the greatest and most inevitable event in all of world's history, the Great Judgment Day. Not a soul among us can escape the judgment. Rich and poor, small and great must all stand together before that judgment seat of Christ. Now, in connection with this subject, we want to consider today the longest time prophecy in all the Scriptures, containing some amazing predictions about the future. When Daniel received his vision of chapter 8, he was a captive in the mighty city of Babylon. A few years earlier, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had besieged the city of Jerusalem and carried away many of its young men as slaves or war captives. For several years, Daniel had been a captive there in Babylon, but he was highly respected as one of the wisest men in the kingdom. As a Jew, he was naturally concerned about the desolation of the holy city Jerusalem. He was especially anxious about the sanctuary, because it had been left in ruins, so the services could no longer be conducted there. He yearned for the time when that temple could be rebuilt once again. Of course, it had been told through the prophet Jeremiah that after 70 years, the Jews would be able to go back and actually establish themselves again in their own city. Well, while he was thinking on this subject, Daniel had a vision in which God revealed some of the events of the future. He was shown a ram with two great horns standing by the river Ulai. One horn, by the way, was higher than the other, and the highest came up last. And this ram pushed in all directions and gained mastery over all the other beasts. No one was able to stand before him. Then suddenly a he-goat came from the west with great speed and ran into the ram with great fury. The he-goat had a notable horn between his eyes, the Bible says, and in his anger he broke the horns of the ram and cast him down to the ground and stamped on him. Daniel 8:8 tells us the next development. Therefore the he-goat waxed very great, and when he was strong, the great horn was broken, and for it came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven. Now, this was the first part of the vision of Daniel, and he could not understand at all the meaning of it, of course. But God sent the angel Gabriel to explain what those things really meant. Daniel 8, verses 20 and 21 tells us, in the words of the angel speaking to Daniel, "The ram which thou sawest having two horns are the kings of Media and Persia, and the rough goat is the king of Grecia, and the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king." Now, friends, here's a perfect example of how the Bible explains itself. We don't have to guess as to the identity of these two beasts or whom they symbolize. The angel Gabriel told Daniel just exactly who was represented by the animals. From these words, Daniel understood that Babylon would be overthrown by the Medo-Persians, and that Greece would then come along and defeat Medo-Persia. The great horn of the goat represented Alexander, the first king of that nation. And when he was young and strong, Alexander died, and his kingdom was divided then among his four leading generals, represented in this vision by the four horns which came up afterward. Now, we're not guessing at these things, friends. They're all given to us clearly in the Bible itself. Now, even though these events were of interest to Daniel, he was most interested in the second part of the vision, as we find it recorded in Daniel 8, 13 and 14. "Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint which spake, How long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden under foot? And he said unto me, Unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed." Now, friends, anything that had to do with the sanctuary at Jerusalem was very close to the heart of the Hebrew prophet. The thought that the sanctuary would be established once more and that the Day of Atonement would be observed again among his people was a thrilling thought to Daniel. He waited for the angel Gabriel to explain that part of the vision to him. But in verse 26, Daniel was told, "And the vision of the evening and the morning which was told is true." Now, this is referring to the 23 evenings and mornings. "Wherefore shut thou up the vision, for it shall be for many days." In other words, the angel was not going to tell him the meaning of that part of the vision, which had to do with the 2300 days, at the end of which the sanctuary was to be cleansed. Now, when he realized that he had not been able to understand about this part of it and the cleansing of that sanctuary, Daniel became sick with disappointment. Verse 27 says, "And I, Daniel, fainted and was sick certain days. Afterward I rose up and did the king's business, and I was astonished at the vision, but none understood it." Now listen, friends, Daniel didn't give up the idea that it might be revealed to him, because he began to pray in the next chapter, chapter 9, confessing the sins of his people and asking God to give him light on that sanctuary question. Notice his words here. And by the way, the whole prayer is contained in that chapter. But in verse 17, we break right into the middle of the prayer, and this is what Daniel is saying. "Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake." You know, friends, somehow this earnest prayer entered in the ears of God, and he sent Gabriel once more to explain the rest of that vision to Daniel. Before he had finished his prayer even, Gabriel appeared at his side, told him that he had come to give him understanding. Notice how he brought Daniel's mind back to that earlier vision. He said, "Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision." Verse 23. So Daniel focused his mind once more on the vision and recalled the prophecies about that 2300 days. And Gabriel said to him, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgressions, to make an end of sins." Verse 24. Now listen, that word "determined" actually means in the Hebrew, "cut off." So he said then that 70 weeks of that time of the 2300 days would be cut off and assigned to the Jewish people, to Daniel's own people. For what reason? To make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the Most Holy. In other words, friends, it was a time of probation assigned to the Jewish people to see what they would do with the Messiah when he would appear. Now, right at this point, we should understand the principle of prophetic interpretation. In prophetic reckoning, a day stands for a year. Let's read a text on that now to be absolutely certain of our ground. In Ezekiel 4:6, God said to his prophet, "I have appointed thee each day for a year." Now, this is not true in history or narrative or anything else except in the prophecies of the Bible. A day stands for a year there. It always will. So this 2300 days then would actually represent 2300 years. And 70 weeks of this 2300 day period were to be assigned to the Jewish people or to the Jewish nation. In that period, they were to fill up their cup of iniquity by the rejection of the Messiah. But now we must determine when the 2300 years began. Only then can we hope to understand the events during that period. In verse 25, we get the answer. "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 70 weeks and 72 weeks. Now, friends, here is the beginning date, which coincides with the going forth of the commandment to restore Jerusalem. Now, can we find that decree and when it went forth? Yes, the Bible makes it very clear and actually gives the words of the decree itself. The Persian king Artaxerxes sent out that decree in the year 457 B.C., and you will find it in the Bible in Ezra 7, 11-13. Let's read it. Now, this is the copy of the letter that King Artaxerxes gave unto Ezra the priest, the scribe, even a scribe of the words of the commandments of the Lord and of his statutes to Israel. Artaxerxes, king of kings, unto Ezra the priest, and at such a time I make a decree that all they of the people of Israel and of his priests and Levites in my realm, which are minded of their own free will to go up to Jerusalem, go with thee." Now please notice the date right there beside the text, friends. There's no date more fully established in all the Old Testament scriptures than this. It's 457 B.C. Now since this point is the beginning of the 2300 days or years, we can immediately cut off 70 weeks of that time for the Jewish period of probation. Now, how much is 70 weeks? How many days? Well, 7 times 70 is 490 days, so that would be actually 490 years, a day for a year. So cutting off 490 years from the 2300 years, beginning in 457, brings us down to the year 34 A.D. And in that year, Stephen was stoned as a climax of the opposition of the Jews to the gospel. And in that year Paul began his ministry to the Gentiles because the Jews had sealed their rejection of the Messiah. Now next, according to the prophecy, there would be a period of 7 weeks and 80 weeks and 2 weeks from the beginning date until the appearance of the Messiah. So if we count down 69 weeks beginning from 457, that's the point of beginning. If we begin there and count 69 weeks, which is actually, of course, 482 days or years, we are brought to the year 27 A.D. Now, what happened in that year, according to the prophecy? Well, it said the Messiah was to appear. And sure enough, at that very time, in that very year, Jesus was baptized by John in the River Jordan. Now, the word Messiah actually means the Anointed One. And it was at his baptism that Jesus was anointed by the descent of the Holy Spirit. And that event took place in Mark 1:15. He said, "The time is fulfilled," showing that something should take place because of the fulfillment of a specified period. And that was the fulfillment of the prophecy that would bring one right down to the appearance of the Messiah. The Anointed One did come in the baptism of Jesus in the year 27 A.D. Now please notice that the 69 weeks, or 483 years, brings us down to 27 A.D. But that still leaves 1 week of time before the rejection of the Jews at the end of the 70 weeks. In other words, we've got 69 weeks to the appearance of the Messiah, and 70 weeks would bring us to the end of the period of probation for the Jews. So during that 70th week, something very important was to happen. According to verse 26, the Messiah was to be cut off, but not for himself. Then verse 27 states, "In the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease." And then the exact center of that last week, friends, just 3.5 years from his baptism, Jesus was cut off and crucified, bringing an end to the sacrificial system. The veil in the temple, you remember, was rent in twain to signify that there should be no more typical offerings. Jesus died in 31 A.D., leaving another 3.5 years for the Jews to seal their rejection of the gospel. In 34 A.D., Paul turned to the Gentiles, and the full 70 weeks was completed. Now, in our next broadcast, we'll take up our study at this point and find out what happened in 1844 to fulfill the cleansing of the sanctuary. Now, this is a most fascinating subject, friends. Your eternal interests are involved in this subject, and they are all bound up in the question of the cleansing of the sanctuary. So let's review briefly again now that the 70 weeks was cut off from the 2,300 years, and that was 490 years that was assigned to see what the Jews would do about the Messiah and whether they would accept him or not. They rejected him, of course, and in the middle of that 70th week, they cut him off and crucified Jesus, 3.5 years from the time he was baptized, leaving 3.5 more years to the time that the Jews were rejected as God's people. And now, this is Joe Cruz saying goodbye for today.